You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Welcome back to 95BFM. New Zealand has a new Chief Justice. Dame Sian Elias has retired after 20 years in the job, passing the baton to Helen Winckelmann. Winckelmann is an esteemed judge with a long legal career beginning in 1985, and the Supreme Court is New Zealand's highest court since its establishment in 2004, with the Chief Justice sitting atop it. Although their opinion does not count for more than other judges of the Supreme Court, outside of this, the Chief Justice has a lot to do in the development of New Zealand's judicial system. I spoke with Associate Professor Kylie Quince about the role of the Chief Justice and what Winckelmann will bring to the role. What exactly is the role of the Chief Justice?
Okay, so the Chief Justice is the head of the bench, so that is of all of the entire branch of the judiciary. So there are chief judges in the different divisions of the court, so of the district court as a whole, and then also of the family court and youth court within that part of the judiciary. And then there's a chief judge of the High Court, and then this Chief Justice is the sort of big chief overall, if you like. So the equivalent of the Prime Minister, who is the head of the executive, well, she is, Chief Justice is the head of the judicial branch of government in New Zealand. So a pretty important role in charge of many, many judges in the country.
And in this role, I mean, do they have much influence over the direction of the courts, or are they, I mean, they still only have kind of one vote in Supreme Court decisions?
So, yeah, so that's a really good question. So the Chief Judge is still a judge, so that means that she does have a sitting role, so she is part of the Supreme Court, which means that in that particular role, she is just one of, you know, a number of her colleagues, so she just has one vote there. However, the role of Chief Judge or Chief Justice is influential in the broader sense of being the leader of the judiciary. So they do have a role in terms of the general direction and influence of perhaps not the court specifically, but in terms of where we draw our judges from, for example, what sort of education they have available to them, broader communications with the general public about the role of the rule of law in our society. And Justice Winckelmann has a really fantastic role model in terms of the shoes that she's filling from Dame Sian Elias, who did a pretty spectacular job in that respect of making herself accessible to the public in terms of speaking at various places, or in terms of facing up to the public, being the front face of the judiciary. And Justice Winckelmann has already made it known that she has particular kaupapa or projects, if you like, that she's keen on, and one of those is access to justice. So that, of course, involves influencing public policy, law and public policy, in terms of funding of the important parts of access to justice, which includes legal aid, lawyers, timetabling of the courts, the number of courts, the number of judges that are available. All of those things impact upon, you know, access to justice and due process rights for defendants. For example, if you're charged with a crime in Auckland, a serious crime for which you might elect trial by jury, you can expect to be waiting for at least a minimum of 12 months to be heard. So an access to justice issue would be, can you make that time shorter? That will involve her role of, you know, negotiating and lobbying the other branches of government to fund courts so that there are more judges available. A particular challenge that Justice Winckelmann will have to think about, this year we've raised the youth court age, the age of youth court jurisdiction to 17. It's previously been 16. That one small piece of legal amendment, if you like, the actuaries or the accountants have told us that that's likely to increase the load of the courts at the district court by 40%. 40% with the existing number of judges is just not going to work. So she has a really big role to help influence and give information to other branches of government, to the general public, And that's part of her, you know, her role as, you know, protector of her own employees, who will be the other judges, but also being the intermediary between the courts, the executive, parliament, and the general public.
And in terms of the other aspect of the role, so actually acting as a judge on the Supreme Court, what will the legacy of Shaun Elias be in this area?
So, I mean, Shaun Elias, for those of us in the legal profession, Shaun Elias has left an enormous legacy as a giant in New Zealand jurisprudence, and I certainly wouldn't throw that around lightly. As a practitioner, Dame Shaun was an incredibly brave and really out there practitioner in terms of being a woman in the profession when that wasn't easy. She's spoken quite openly about taking a pawn. She has a reputation. She worked with iwi Māori when many non-Māori practitioners wouldn't. And she's spoken about that as a means of necessity, really, in practice. And she's taken that bravery and courage into her role as judge and chief justice, that she has been a very clear protector of the rule of law and of access to justice. So she's really set the standard for Dame Helen to follow in her footsteps. Dame Shaun was a very brave individual judge also, so she is often often a lone dissenting voice, particularly in appellate court judgment. So that's a pretty formidable legacy and reputation for Justice Wynne Kelman to be following. Wynne Kelman's also, I should also say, she's also currently the chair of the Institute of Judicial Studies. So much like other people in professional roles, judges like lawyers and doctors and nurses, accountants and other people, they have to undertake ongoing professional development and education. And for judges, that occurs through the Institute of Judicial Studies. And Helen Wynne Kelman has been the chair of the IJS for some years now, so she has set the agenda in terms of what are the issues that judges need to be, you know, upskilled in relation to, or what do they need to be better educated and informed about. And in the past couple of years, I've been involved in IJS seminars and education. There's been a very clear change of direction to take account of the fact that New Zealand society is changing in terms of its diversity, issues around vulnerability, poverty, marginalisation, violence. Dame Helen has been at the forefront of shifting that agenda in terms of having judges that are better informed, more empathetic, and shifting that kind of response to, you know, the legal issues, that legal and social issues that judges are responding to.
And what do we know about Dame Helen from her previous judgments? Is she quite sort of rights focused, like Shaun Elias, or is she willing to kind of challenge the legislature a bit?
She is very much a rule of law person. So she's very much focused on those access to justice, human rights kind of outcomes, if you like, or protecting those kinds of rights. She would not, I'm sure, she would say of herself that she's not, she's certainly not a radical. She's but she is clearly a person who thinks about aspects of social justice. She's very fair. She's an incredibly hard worker, and I think that she would be very pleased to be thought of in that way, to be, you know, amongst her colleagues, certainly not above them. She's already said that she's going to, you know, sort of sounds like rule from the middle, which is a different kind of leadership style, perhaps, and let some of the other senior judges do some of that leadership work around the country in terms of communicating with the public, etc. So I think this will be quite a shift, but quite a shift in terms of the way that it's done, in terms of the substance. I think it'll be the continuation of the legacy of Dame Shaun Elias.
And do you think this could mean anything for Māori in the criminal justice system and how they're treated by the criminal justice system?
Yes, I do. Justice Wynne Kelman has been, again, as part of her IJS role, so in terms of judicial education, under her watch there has been some pretty significant developments in terms of judicial education. The one significant one is a tikanga program Which all judges are required to do within a three-year cycle or period of professional development. That's pretty significant. It's the first time a program that requires judges to sleep and think about tikanga Māori in a marae context. Very ordinary community people come in to talk with judges about those kinds of issues. So she is certainly informed, and she is certainly around issues of Māori access to justice and the impact of the, particularly the criminal law on Māori. So she's well informed, and she is making sure that her colleagues are kept up to speed as to, you know, how they might better respond to those issues in their roles.
And just finally, do you think it's significant that another woman has been appointed as the Chief Justice?
I do. I think that's, you know, you obviously have to, you know, in terms of ability, you obviously have to meet the standard. Mm. There's certainly no question there. But I do think it's important. Justice Wynne Kalman, like Justice Elias, she's a mother, she's a wife. She comes from Mount Roskill, like me, from the second best school in Mount Roskill. She's a Linfield Collard girl, not a Roskill Grammar girl like me. I remind her of that. But I do think it's important. She's already talked about issues in relation to gender in the profession. I don't think it's controversial, and it's certainly not anti-feminist to say that female lawyers and female judges do things differently. They have a different lens on the world. They understand and appreciate issues of parenting, of vulnerability, and of stresses and strains in the community, not in a better way necessarily that male judges, but in a different way. And those things, much like diversity in respect of ethnicity, faith, culture, are really important. Those, you know, our judiciary, like every other aspect of New Zealand public life, and we should certainly be thinking about these in the light of the tragedy of Friday, we need to have people in power that appropriately reflect our community. So obviously having females in leadership positions, whether they are Pākehā, non-Pākehā, still really important.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.